Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. So I believe in being fair. You know, something I was thinking about when TD was talking about how, like, I say all these coaches suck and everything like that. I mean, it is fair. They could say that I suck too, and I should be okay with that.
They're allowed to do that. They just don't have a radio to do it.
They absolutely can. Like when Tajae Sharpe got mad at me that one time, that's totally fair. But I believe in being fair. Like, I truly, truly, people are not going to believe this, but I truly believe in, like, not, I try to take my feelings out of it when talking about players and teams and everything else as much as possible. Like, if you listen to Skip Bayless talk about LeBron James, no matter what LeBron does, LeBron could cure cancer, and Skip would be like, well, he's a fraud.
Oh, 100%.
Right. Well, I don't like that. And I like Skip Bayless, and I think Skip Bayless...
Same thing with Kevin Durant.
No, but all he ever does is talk about Durant's the best player on the world, and then Durant says to Skip that he doesn't like him.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But...
The back-and-forth relationship that just can't be healed.
I try to not do that. So, Sunday against the Giants, I thought Tannehill played a good game.
I think he did, too.
He was one step short of great. It would have been if the ball had come out quick to Derrick Henry and they had scored a touchdown, or if Tannehill had, you know, done something miraculous at the end or whatever.
And the conversation would have been much different about Ryan Tannehill if Treylon Burks was able to catch that pass, if it was DPI. And the narrative could be changed a whole lot, but at the end of the day, he didn't turn the ball over, and that's what I care about.
And so I keep thinking about this Buffalo game and Tannehill. And I know how fans are. Like, I know fans point at the coordinator, the quarterback, the whatever. And so Chase asked D-Mace a really, really good question, which is, what is fair to ask of Tannehill in this Buffalo game? Because, again, somebody's going to have to step up for Tannehill. Somebody's going to have to make some plays for Tannehill. Either Derrick Henry's going to have to totally control the game, or Tannehill's going to have to do something that is almost superhuman of him to do. What we would ask Aaron Rodgers to do, or what we would ask Tom Brady to do. I hate to break it to everybody, but if the Titans get down 28-6 in a game, Ryan Tannehill's not bringing them back. And I'm not asking Ryan Tannehill to do that. So Chase asked Derek, what was fair to ask of Ryan Tannehill in the Buffalo game? Here's what D-Mason Chase said.
What is fair and unfair to ask Ryan Tannehill to do against Buffalo? Knowing what you know about what's around him, what is fair to ask of him and what's not fair to ask of him going into this game?
Just don't lose the game, because you don't have enough weapons around you to make mistakes. But then, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, we can rally this thing because we got, you know, a number one receiver, an explosive receiver. We got Derrick Henry in the backfield, and our offensive line is pretty good. So, I can make a mistake or two here, but I know eventually, you know, these guys are going to step up for me and we're going to score some points. Well, Ryan, you don't have that this year. Well, you don't have it, at least right now. So just don't do anything that is going to put us behind the eight ball.
I don't disagree with that whatsoever, as that being what's fair to ask of Ryan Tannehill.
Isn't that pretty much what we ask of Ryan Tannehill, regardless of who they're playing?
It's what we ask of him now. The problem is, I don't think they can beat the Buffalo Bills doing that. Unless he has immense amount of help, I don't think they can win.
Well, he can take care of the football and still get an immense amount of help.
Well, no, he's going to have to get the immense amount of help.
Right.
That's what I'm saying is, like, you know, either Treylon Burks has to become Superman, or they have to scheme, you know, Robert Woods into the mix and he catches, you know, 13 balls for 84 yards, but it's just constant, 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 constant. It's that, like, he has to get some help. They have to help Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to the whole point of, like, being fair. I mean, I feel like when Tannehill lost in the Bengals game, and again, that should be water under the bridge, but it is a very big point in his tenure as the quarterback of the Titans. That performance probably cost the Titans a Super Bowl, or at least in my opinion it did. Mm-hmm. You know, at least, you know, they were right there, and it's so hard to get back. And if they just didn't turn the ball over, the way the defense was playing, the way the running game was working, it just felt right. And so he cost them that game we've been over it 1,000 times. But what is actually fair to ask of him, in my opinion, is just don't turn it over, don't get the team beat. But if he goes out there and he just doesn't turn it over and doesn't get the team beat, I'm still not sure that that's not good enough to beat Buffalo, because Buffalo's just that good. And I'm talking about how the fans work, and you were kind of talking in the break about Titan fans and how they latch onto one target, and then they just fire the torpedoes on a consistent basis.
Yeah, Todd Downing is the sacrificial lamb of week one.
I mean, and so it's like if they go out there to Buffalo and Josh Allen takes them out to a 14-0 lead, Titan fans are going to be sitting there watching the game at home, wanting it to flip on the other side, like, all right, like, come on. And I'm like, that's not his game.
But is that what Titans fans can expect? If you get on 14-0 because Josh Allen can just march down the field with ease, which I don't doubt that he can do, and I don't doubt that he will do. But will Titans fans really say, all right, Ryan Tannehill, no, you go turn around and do that?
They won't say it like that right now. What they will say is after a game where they lose to a Josh Allen or where Tannehill can't outshoot one of these guys, they will say, like, can't do it with Tannehill. You know, I just can't. And I mean, I go back to the fact that Tannehill has beaten the Bills twice in a row in the last two games they played.
But has Tannehill beaten the Bills?
Well, Tannehill,
or has Tannehill quarterbacked a team that has beaten the Bills?
So the Tannehill-Arthur Smith game, that Bills game, that was – I mean, they were talking on First Take the day after they beat the Bills on that Tuesday night in 2020 about whether or not Tannehill should be an MVP candidate.
Okay, so yes, that Tannehill was peak, beat the Bills.
That was peak elite Tannehill with Arthur Smith. And he didn't even throw for 200 yards in that game, but they were like 5 of 5 or 8 of 8 or something nuts in the red zone. Like, it was unbelievable. Efficient football, I think, is what they can ask of Tannehill. And anything outside of that, you're asking for too much. And I go back to the money, right? If somebody is making $100 million to do anything, then there's a level of expectation that, hey, you know, you're going to be good at this. Mm-hmm. You know, Howard Stern makes $120 million a year. He works 3 days a week, and he takes off the entire summer. So for $120 million, Howard Stern better be getting SiriusXM a bunch of subscribers. That's why they pay him $120 million. That's the expectation. The Titans only pay Tannehill $30 million. They pay him $29.5 million. Derek Carr makes $40. So when it comes to what's asked of these quarterbacks, like, I don't think...
It's kind of a steep price.
I don't think it's fair to ask Kyler Murray to carry the Arizona Cardinals, but when they pay him $46 million, that's the job, bud. Like, that's it. And so it's not fair to ask Ryan Tannehill to carry this football team because they don't pay Ryan Tannehill like he's supposed to carry this team, because the expectations for when they were successful with him as the quarterback were not him carrying this team. And because we know that if you ask him to throw it 35 times, he's going to throw some interceptions. If you ask him to throw it 20 times, he's going to play efficient football. The problem is what I fear, and this is why I don't consider the Titans Super Bowl contenders. Because in order to win the Super Bowl out of the AFC, they will have to beat the probably, you know, 3 or 4 elite quarterbacks. You know, and they'll have to go through 3 games in the AFC, 1 game in the NFC that's either Rodgers or Brady or one of those guys. And get into those matches with the Josh Allens. At some point, there's going to be one of these shootouts where your quarterback has to win it. Patrick Mahomes got into that shootout with Josh Allen last year. The Titans can't do that. And so that's where I look at, you know, not only this game upcoming, but also reality of where they are as a team. And it's like, if they don't have an elite defense, and on Sunday against the Giants, they weren't elite. You know, Saquon Barkley running for 160 yards or whatever, that was not elite defense. If they don't have an elite defense, or if they don't have an exceptional playmaker to go along with Derrick Henry, or they don't block for Tannehill, he can't win for them. And that's the hard part that I have with all of this. And I feel bad because I feel like he's going to get a lot of criticism if they don't win on Monday. But again, I don't think Monday is about him. If he plays his game, it's going to be about can somebody else help him.
But also, the Titans didn't win on Sunday against the Giants, and the conversation has not been about Tannehill. The conversation will be about Tannehill if he makes it about himself. The conversation was about Tannehill after the Titans lost to the Bengals because he threw three interceptions.
The conversation was about him because he cost him the game.
I mean, if the Bills just dog walk the Titans – and Tannehill throws for 220 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions. No, that's not a fantastic outing for that quarterback, but that's also what we can expect from Ryan Tannehill.
So I'll use the Ravens playoff game a couple years ago as an example. Tannehill threw an interception at the end of the game for Khalif Raymond. He missed a wide-open A.J. Brown. And, you know, that for me was a big moment for Tannehill, where he had to win them that game at the end, and he didn't. And maybe I've lowered my expectations for Tannehill, but also, you know, the Titans scored 13 points that game. The problem is that if Josh Allen and the Bills get a big advantage on the Titans, the idea of Tannehill throwing it 22 times, that's not going to happen. He's going to have to throw it 45 times. And if he throws it 45 times because of the game they're in, he's going to throw some interceptions, especially on like a 3rd and 9 where he knows Von Miller's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, I got to get the ball out before Von Miller kills me, and now he's taking a risk, and then he throws an interception. It's all, like, very cause-and-effect-ish.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to sit there. It's easy to say, you know, if Tannehill doesn't turn it over and they lose, it's not Tannehill's fault. But if Buffalo plays their game, then it'll put Tannehill in a position where he's got to get outside of his game.
Yeah.
And that's what I worry about here. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on this. 615-737-1025. Is it fair to just ask Tannehill, whatever happens, don't lose the game and go from there? Or do you think that Tannehill can do more? And then who is going to be the person that helps Tannehill? We'll get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025 plus. I almost feel like Tannehill's already nervous about Von Miller. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 the game.
What do you remember about, I guess, a young Von Miller when you guys were in school at Texas A&M, and would you prefer to see him in the offseason rather than keep showing up on, you know, game day?
I don't mind seeing him, but I just don't want him within my bubble, you know what I mean, which is tough to do. He's a heck of a football player. He was back at A&M when I was able to call him a teammate, made a bunch of plays for us in Aguiland, and I think he's only improved upon that, you know, throughout his time in the NFL. You know, he's fast, he's slippery. He's got power, you know, so he has every tool that you look for in an edge rusher, and, you know, he's been dominant over the course of his career.
There you go. That was Tannehill on Von Miller, his buddy from Aggieland, which
gig him.
Is fair. I mean, they were teammates, and when they were at the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago, they made sure to take a bunch of pictures together.
They were bestie pops.
There is that.
In College Station.
But let me say this. I'm worried about Tannehill. Now, I've watched the tape of the Titans' offensive line, and I didn't think there was anything particularly special to document against the Giants. I am going to watch the Bills' 7 sacks against the Rams, and then I am going to see how I feel about the Titans' offensive line against the Bills. I am worried. The Bills only sent 4. They have the best safety combo in the NFL. I am really worried about what that's going to do to Tannehill, because there is nothing. Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl, and the Titans absolutely spooked him last year on Sunday Night Football by getting pressure. I mean, I've seen Tom Brady come into Nissan Stadium against a mediocre Titans team in 2018 and play what Floyder said was the worst game that he ever saw Brady play. Like, it just because the pass rush just affects the quarterback. I've seen good quarterbacks look average because of a pass rush. Mm-hmm. I worry about Tannehill against this front for the Bills. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Steven is going to kick us off here on Tannehill. Thank you for calling. What's up, Steven?
Nothing much, man. So I worry about Tannehill every single day because he's just not the guy. I'm that point blank period. He's not the guy. He's an average guy. And the reason I'm calling is because I wanted to get your take. He saved John Robinson's job by being average, but, you know, he gets the win. So my take is, it is time for John Robinson to sell the farm. This year's quarterback class is, you know, top of the line. So whether this season is a tank season and we get stuck, can't beat a team, get the first pick, finish a Jeff Fisher season and go 8-9 or, you know, make the playoffs, he has got to do whatever it takes to move up and get one of these quarterbacks. And I just wanted to get that with having Malik Willis, and I just think it's time to move on from Tannehill, man. Love the show.
Yep, thank you for your call, Steven. I mean, I don't think those are like really week two discussions that I'm thinking about right now, but I don't disagree with, you know, I heard the Midday Show today talking about Robinson, and they were talking about the Burks trade and the AJ thing, and I hate to say this for the Titans, and they probably should have known this, I'm sure they probably did, when they made the trade, that this isn't going away. So if AJ goes and leads the NFL in receiving yards and Treylon Burks gets just 30 yards a game, then now look, Burks had a good game on Sunday. But
you can only do as much as you can, yeah, as much as the ball is given to you.
But that's not going away. As no. far as the oh, criticism no. about, you know, oh, they traded AJ and oh, they couldn't.
I think John Robinson had to kind of swallow the fact that that could have been his job the night that he decided to trade AJ Brown for Treylon Burks.
So that's what the Midday Show was talking about. I don't think that's true. Why? Because I think that the real test.
You don't think that it would be his job, or you don't think that he believed that?
I don't think that it was his job. I think that these general manager types, like the ones that are wired the way he is, mm-hmm, I think those guys think that any one decision could be, you know, their job or not their job. I was told Scott Pioli, who was Belichick's, you know, longtime right-hand man at the beginning of the Patriots dynasty, before he went and did his own thing in Kansas City, that Scott Pioli had two pictures on his desk. There was some tight end out of, like, Eastern Michigan or something that was there was a picture of him on the desk, and then there was a picture of Tom Brady, and it was like, who's the tight end from Eastern Michigan? And I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what school the guy went to, but they were like, who's that guy? It's like, that's the guy we picked before Tom Brady. So like, it kind of represents like the luck factor of, if we really thought Tom Brady was that good, we would have picked him before we picked the guy out of Eastern Michigan.
Right.
So there's a level of luck that's involved with it. So I think these guys always look at it like that. They're like, oh, this draft choice of Racy McMath could be, you know, the next Jerry Rice.
But that wasn't just any draft
pick. It wasn't. I think that the reality, though, with Robinson about his job, first of all, I've said this numerous times on this show, I will never, ever, ever call for John Robinson's job. They could go 0-17, and I will not on the air say that they should fire John Robinson. It is the one thing that I feel like I owe the old man. I will say this, I feel guilty as hell whenever I go on Sirius and criticize Belichick, because good Lord, what a mess that is right now in New England.
It is a mess.
But I feel incredibly guilty doing that. Just, you know, this, you know, the old man loved Belichick. They were best buddies. And then I go on there and I trash, you know, Bill. I have a hard time with that. But the one thing, like, I will never call for Robinson's job. But if I were to be thinking about Robinson as a general manager, first of all, got signed a contract extension last year, and he's never had a losing season. He inherited the worst team in the league. But,
which is even more impressive considering how many draft picks they have whiffed on.
That's so true. The next step in this is going to be when he has to find the quarterback. And obviously they're looking. I don't know if they think Malik is the future or not. I think they're still in the process of figuring out if Malik is the future or not. I think it's one of those things where you go up to somebody 3 weeks into dating someone and go, you guys getting married? I don't know. I hope. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope
I'm dipping
that
my toes in the
that
water,
when we
but
move
I don't
in
know.
Together, I don't find some freaking skeleton, you know? Like, I'm hoping so. Like, that's kind of how I feel like the Titans are with Malik right now, but that they don't really know. But I do think that the next step in the Robinson era is going to be finding the next quarterback, and that's going to be the – and I think he's earned that. Even if they lose every game this season, I think John Robinson, even with all the Caleb Farleys and Dylan Radinses out there and Isaiah Wilsons and Rashawn Evanses, I feel like he has earned the right to pick the next quarterback. And that, I think, is fair. So it's a really long-winded way of me telling the caller there that wants Robinson to go out there and get the new quarterback, that I don't know if he should right now. I mean, Tannehill played pretty well on Sunday. Tannehill had a pretty good training camp.
Tannehill's the quarterback back of this football team.
But
until it's no longer his job.
Do they do what Buffalo did, where Buffalo had a playoff team, Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but they knew that Tyrod Taylor wasn't their guy, and they spent that entire season scouting out quarterbacks. They actually pulled. I thought that Sean McDermott was an idiot, because in that first season, in the middle of the year, they inexplicably pulled Tyrod Taylor and started Nathan Peterman against the Raiders. And Peterman threw like three interceptions in the first half. And they had to go back to Tyrod. And then they made the playoffs, and everybody laughed at him for benching their starting quarterback who was winning games to put that bum in there. And then all of a sudden, they had to go back to him, and they made the playoffs. And it was like, wow, that was really disrespectful. But the truth was they were trying to evaluate the young quarterback on the roster because they knew that Tyrod wasn't their guy. And I think of that when I hear the story about how Buffalo, that first year that Brandon Bean was the general manager, that he went and he scouted all the quarterbacks. He scouted Lamar Jackson. He scouted Josh Rosen. He scouted Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. And that they traded their left tackle, Cordy Glenn, to the Bengals to move up into the first round. And then they traded again on draft night, I believe with Tampa Bay, in order to get the 7th overall pick. They went from like 12 to 7. And that was to get Josh Allen because they liked Josh Allen so much. What nobody ever knows, and they'll never tell you, is did they like Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield more? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But those guys were gone with picks 1 and 3. So they moved up to get Josh Allen at 7 because he was the guy they really wanted.
Same thing with the Chargers. Did they really want Tua?
No. The Chargers have said it. The Chargers have said that we would take whoever wasn't picked by the Dolphins.
No, I know. But I know they said that outwardly. But if they were in the Dolphins spot, who would they have picked?
Oh, they have not
They would
that.
Never they say would that never publicly. That. Yeah. But I do think it's interesting is, you know, who would they really have gone with
me,
if they had the opportunity?
Let me tell you something. Last Friday night, I sat around. I think I could tell this story.
I don't know.
Last Friday night, I sat around with Sean Reese, Katie Reese, Jeremy Reese, and Sally Reese. And I asked them, I said, in 2006, the year that the Titans drafted Vince Young, it is well documented, whether or not this is true, this is like the old wives' tale of Nashville football, whether or not it's true that Bud Adams demanded Vince Young. The narrative is now that Bud Adams wanted Vince Young because he was from Texas, he was from Houston, and Bud wanted to shove it up the keister of the city of Houston and the Texans. And in all fairness, when Vince Young broke a 60-yard run to win a game in overtime at Houston, he did.
I love that pettiness.
So that's what everybody believes. Jeff Fisher has told the story that he wanted Jay Cutler, but everybody knows that's a lie. He wanted Matt Leinart. That's what everybody knows is that, you know, USC, they hired Norm Chow. He wanted Matt Leinart. The question that nobody has ever gotten the answer to is who did the general manager want to draft? We know it was quarterback, Vince, Matt, or Jay. And I asked them all. I said, who did he want to draft? And they didn't know.
Really?
They didn't know. And
they would have told you.
So obviously that went to the grave. Oh, I think they would have told me. At this point, what's the
lose? Yeah, why not?
Every time I used to ask him, I'd say, who did you really want to take? And he'd go, who'd we draft? And I would go, Vince. He'd go, then that's who I wanted to take.
Oh, but that's not the answer.
Well, we don't know. It might have been.
It may have been.
It might have been. But this, like, long-winded way of saying, like, I don't know, like, who they would have wanted to draft or whatever, and all these things are kept so close to the vest.
Yeah.
This is where Robinson is right now, which is, obviously, they don't see Tannehill as the long-term solution at quarterback. And Tannehill knows that because, A, we know what Tannehill's performance record is, and we know what his ceiling and his peak is and everything else. But, B, because they already drafted somebody else, and he's 36 years old or whatever he is. I think he's like my age, and I'm 33 this month, so I think he's 34.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So he's 34 years old or whatever he is. Like, they know that he's not the long-term answer at quarterback. I think Tannehill knows. I think Tannehill's like, I want to play 2 more years and then probably hang it up and watch my kids grow up and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to speak for him, but that's what I think. But this idea of, like, what are they going to do next? They're not going to tell us. But I do think that John Robinson has earned the right to pick the next quarterback whenever that day comes. But at the same time, they have to worry about the Bills.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL's
drafting the
tough.
Next quarterback is
It's not as easy. Like, the Giants, they're looking for the next quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And I was impressed with Daniel Jones on Sunday, but they're looking for the next quarterback. The Titans, I think that's a little different. 615-737-1025. Boy, we went off on that one call. We're right back to your phones next. Stillman & Company. Let's tell the fine folks out there about something that is particularly entertaining to me. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted #1 sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
Like I said, the 7 pass plays, I guess, of 20-plus yards, indication, you know, of those explosive-type plays that you guys were hoping to get more of this season.
I mean, we're going to need a lot of them on Monday. And I think that's something that, you know, we'll have to continue to work on and being able to stay balanced. And, you know, when we throw it and there's timing, then you can have some opportunities for run after the catch. And there's other opportunities out there that we're going to have to try to take advantage of.
I don't foresee a lot of 20-plus yard pass plays in the Titans playbook on Monday night.
Probably not.
I mean,
honestly, how much would you really expect against the Giants?
When they said that the Titans led the NFL with 7, I was kind of stunned. 7 20-plus yard pass plays? And then I had to think about
pass head. Plays?
Yeah, okay, so I'm not looking at – I've got the box score in front of me, but I'm not looking at it.
Okay.
Hilliard had 2.
Yes.
Hollister.
Yes.
Burks.
Did Burks?
Yeah, the big one across the middle that he ran down.
Yeah, that's right.
4.
The last Burks. One to Phillips, do you think that was over 20?
Probably.
Okay, 5.
5.
So it didn't
Westbrook
feel.
At Kine?
No, I don't
Was that
think
120 plus?
Let me see. I don't think so.
I think he had 1 for like 13 or something like that.
All right, hold on. I'm just looking at the box score right straight off the top. First drive, Tannehill to Burks for 20 yards. There's 1. Tannehill.
Hopefully our boy Jeff Swaim got in there.
No, he didn't have a 20-yarder.
No way.
No shot. Tannehill. Oh, I keep going. The Titans are right up 13-0, and I don't know where this is going to come. They had 7?
There were probably a few at the end of the game in that last drive to move the ball down the field to kick the field goal. Right?
Okay, let's see. Dontrell Hilliard, Tannehill incomplete. Here you go. Tannehill, 8 yards. Tannehill, deep pass in the middle to Kyle Phillips for 20 yards. So that's number 2.
Uh-huh.
Tannehill pass short middle to Treylon Burks for 27. So that's 3. So Burks had 2 of those. Hilliard, 23 yards for a touchdown.
That's 4.
That's 4. That then takes us to halftime. So you're already there halfway through. Boy, they had a lot of plays that I forget about in this game. I mean, it was a very forgettable game, but apparently it had a lot. Gosh, this is probably horrible radio. Tannehill? Oh, hold on, that got reviewed. It was going to say a Conquo of 19, but then that got reviewed. Goodness gracious, why is this so hard for me to get figured out here? Tannehill, 8 yards. Tannehill, 3 yards. Tannehill, Hooper, 6 yards. Tannehill, 21 yards to Phillips.
Okay, so that's 5. So
Hollister,
two.
Hollister has to be 6.
2 for Phillips, 2 for Burks, 1 for Hollister.
The second one, the second Dontrell Hilliard touchdown had to be that way too.
Probably
both,
so.
Both Hilliard touchdowns had to be.
So that's 6.
I'd say so, yeah, both Hilliard touchdowns.
What is wrong with this? No, Hilliard, 7 yards. The 7-yard touchdown, the first one. I don't know, I'm over it. Phone 615-737-1025. What do we have?
One texter texts in and says, do you think that the Titans will stack the offensive line like they did for the 49ers game? Move in Titans a chip, have one on one for Burks.
So here's something that I think is very, very concerning is the injury report came out today. And Dontrell Hilliard did not practice with a hamstring injury.
And a hamstring scares me.
Hamstrings are usually like you get taken out on the hamstring and it's like you're going to be good. It's not a torn ACL or a, you know, something that's going to be affect you for the season or like an ankle that never gets better. But it's going to take a couple of weeks before a hamstring for a guy who runs is going to be better.
And if you rush it, you're just going to re-injure it. Oh, and you're even deeper in the hole.
Which means that Haskins is going to have to play a lot, just like Haskins had to play on the 2-minute drill. But in training camp, I actually liked Haskins in this kind of role. Like, I thought he picked up the blitz well in training camp. I think he's a good receiver out of the backfield. When I saw Haskins in there, and knowing that Haskins did not play with the big boys really much of the game until the 2-minute drill, I didn't get freaked out about it because I had seen enough from Hassan Haskins in training camp to say, okay, I know this guy can play. But still, it's the Buffalo Bills, and I think that the running backs are going to have to stay in on pass blocking. But every time that they lead Derrick Henry in for pass blocking is like a carry for Derrick Henry because he's going to get hit by one of those linebackers or he's going to hit him. And so that is an underrated element of the game is that if Hilliard is not out there, then what about blitz pickup? Because they're going to have to keep backs and tight ends in a lot. Swain, I just want to prepare everybody out there who doesn't like Jeff Swain. Swain is going to play a lot.
Well, because he needs to block.
He's got to block. And I don't think they're leaving Petit Ferrer out there by himself against Von Miller.
Oh, I hope not.
Hey, PT. Ken Wisenhunt let Jeremiah Patassi out by himself against J.J. Watt one time in 2015. And it was...
Well, who is no longer here?
He got fired the following Tuesday.
There you go. There you go.
That was quite something.
Maybe a fireable offense there. Tyler texts in and says, you know, the offense is the sexy thing to discuss, but this game is a defining game for the season because of the defense. If the defense can help us win this game, then we can compete in the playoffs. If we get boat raced and the defense can't get any stops, then we clearly can't compete for or in the playoffs.
So let me say this about the Titans defense. They could give up 35 points on Monday, and I still wouldn't think they have a bad defense.
No.
I just have a lot of
respect. Bills are just that good.
I have a lot of respect.
But also, I don't want to start doing cartwheels about the Bills after a week.
No, but they're good.
They're good. I know. They are good.
And I think.
But it was 1 week, and I a lot of preseason hype for the Bills plays into it as well.
Here's why I think the Bills are really good. Like, everybody knows that everybody knows your stars, right? Everybody knows the stars across the league.
Yeah.
Like, when the Minnesota Vikings play, I don't watch any Minnesota Viking games. But when they play, I know Jefferson, Thielen, Cook. Like, I know the stars of the Vikings.
Right.
Buffalo has a lot of stars, whether it's Diggs, Allen, Von Miller, Poyer, Hyde, you know, those guys, the main guys.
Trey White.
But these guys that they have that are also on this team, like Gabriel Davis, are really, really good.
Isaiah McKenzie.
Like, they're really good.
Yeah.
By the way, Isaiah McKenzie, he was one of the guys that I thought the Titans should really go after in free agency. He was on the official Stillman Company free agency, or what do we call that? The free agency preview or the new league year preview or whatever it is that we do every year on the Friday before free agency opens on Monday where I'm like, here's the cap space. Here's the guys they should go get. Here's the contracts they should restructure.
Free agent catalog.
Whatever it is. It takes up a whole hour at 5 o'clock on the Friday before twice now. And Isaiah McKenzie was a guy that I wanted the Titans to go after. The Bills signed him right before the start of free agency. The reason I say that is he has a podcast that he does with a buddy of mine, Ty Long.
Mm-hmm.
And, or it's called Go Long. It's with Ty Long. And so Ty, they do it at some restaurant in Buffalo. They pack it. Tyler Dunn. They pack it. And Isaiah McKenzie lists off all the teams that went after him in free agency. Titans were not one of them. But I love Isaiah McKenzie. But Isaiah McKenzie's fine. And, like, Gabriel Davis is awesome. Dawson Knox is awesome. And they have so many guys on their team like that. Like, this linebacker, Matt Milano, they have. Awesome. And that's the thing that I think people don't. It almost kind of reminds me of 2000 Titans. The 13-3 team that was by far the best team in the NFL. Everybody knew McNair and George and Wycheck and Bishop and Curse. But then were the other guys like Eddie Robinson or Samari Roll, who ended up leading the NFL in interceptions, or Derek Mason, who set an NFL record for all-purpose yards in a season, or Benji Olsen at right guard, who was awesome. The whole team, they were just loaded. That's what the Bills are. I mean, if the Titans win this game on Monday, and I have not ruled out them winning on Monday, if the Titans win this game on Monday, it will be truly an incredible feat because I think the Bills are that good. Like all the hype, you know, I'm always like, I don't believe the hype kind of guy.
Yeah.
I believe the hype here. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. TD says two of those went to Hilliard. So make of that what you will. 615-737-1025. Boy, I saw a headline at ESPN. I couldn't believe, given what happened in week one. We'll get to that next time on the company, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Rich, I have no explanation for this one. I'm sure you do. And maybe it's that we underrate one football team, but it wasn't like they did things that we didn't expect. But the Indianapolis Colts, they cost a lot of people their spots in survivor pools. I don't know what the explanation is for this. I expected more out of this Colts team to start this season with Matt Ryan.
I did too, Bruce. I think this is a bit of a disappointment. I mean, you know, to go on the road and not be able to get it done. I mean, a tie is what it is. But the Colts now are winless in their last nine straight season openers. I mean, that's they've not gotten off the good starts. And we talked about Matt Ryan and his performance yesterday. You know, when you have a running back that rushes for 161 yards and carries the ball 31 times, you might be surprised that you threw the ball 50 times. Like, you know what I mean?
That was Rich Gannon on SiriusXM NFL. Talking about, I don't know how they rushed for 160 yards with Jonathan Taylor and tied the Texans on Sunday, which the Titans losing to the Giants made the Colts tying of Houston so, so much less enjoyable. Because after all of the stuff that has been said over the last 4 months about Matt Ryan and about the Indianapolis Colts and about the Lombardi Trophy and about everything else, I mean, to go out there and tie the Texans? They should have lost to the Texans. But to go out there and tie the Texans?
I hate ties.
I don't mind ties.
I hate them. It's so unsatisfying.
I don't like ties in soccer because I don't feel like they – I feel like they go to the tie too quickly in soccer.
Well, I also just don't think that you like soccer.
I mean, I'm not going to really dispute that, honestly. I fought hard for us to get a team here, and I thought I was going to give a rat's ass. But I don't.
Yeah.
And
we've cared more about concession prices.
That is true.
Which are ridiculous.
I really honestly don't care about soccer. I don't. But I wouldn't like them in hockey. Like they happen too often.
Because you
hockey.
Like hockey.
No. Okay, so I don't. I'm fine with them in soccer.
Yeah.
No, I hate them in soccer.
I think just because you don't like soccer.
Okay, and I hated them in hockey. But
okay.
I like hockey.
Okay.
That doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
But I guess I'm fine with a tie in the NFL. I was thinking about it like this. The Colts tie the Texans, right? So all that tiebreaker stuff about, well, if they win the two games against the Colts, then they would have the tiebreaker. Unless the Titans tie a game, that doesn't matter. There would be no way in which the Titans and the Colts would be tied and would have to go to the tiebreaker if the Titans don't tie a game.
Correct.
Because either Indianapolis will be 8-8-1, and Tennessee will either be 9-8, and so regardless of that, there's no tie. They're on one side of the other with the Colts.
But if they're 8-9, then wouldn't the tiebreaker go to the 8-8-1 team?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's where it's dangerous.
Well, oh yeah, no. It's dangerous if you are not as good as that team.
Like, yes.
You know,
if that, it's really if coming down team, to the wire.
If that team wins the same amount of games as you, then they go.
Yes.
But regardless of that, has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. What I'm about to complain about is ESPN, ESPN.com put up an article yesterday that I didn't even read it. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to pretend to read it. I saw this headline and I was disgusted. And it was Matt Ryan's face in a Colts jersey, and it had a picture of him. And the headline, and I could tell when I actually did kind of skim through this article a little bit, that it was pretty much written before the season. They just weren't expecting them to lose to the Texans.
Right.
Chasing a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Matt Ryan's face beneath it. He's here to get his Lombardi. Why Matt Ryan's singular focus led him to the Colts, by Stephen Holder. Stephen? Let's let them beat the Texans before we start talking about the Lombardi.
And also, if he wrote that before the season and they were just going to sprinkle some articles out throughout the year, maybe read the room a little bit and wait until after they win a game. But also, to be fair, Stephen Holder isn't saying that the Colts are going to win a Super Bowl. That's just the reason why they brought Matt Ryan in. That's not a secret.
No, but
Irsay's been very vocal about the fact that he thinks that Matt Ryan is just the next one in line. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan.
I mean, that's like whenever any head coach gets hired.
It's the same thing with Russell Wilson.
Not to say that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but like they actually think, like there should be reason. Like, I don't think the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl.
The Broncos just lost to the quarterbackless Seahawks.
I know. But I understand why people think the Broncos could win the Super Bowl.
Yes, but those people are wrong.
I know, but I understand why they think that.
I do. I just don't like it.
But I don't understand why anybody thinks the Indianapolis Colts are competing for a Super Bowl.
Because Jim Irsay thinks that the Indianapolis Colts are competing for a Super Bowl.
Well, everybody with a brain knows better than that.
Yes.
That's my point.
But he's not saying that they're going to win a Super Bowl.
But the top headline at ESPN.com, this was the lead story at one point yesterday afternoon, and it said, hold on, what was it again? Chasing a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. I mean, I guess
that is what they're doing.
I guess technically Baker Mayfield is chasing a Super Bowl in Carolina.
Isn't everyone chasing a Super Bowl?
Yes.
So they're not wrong.
No, but they are.
I mean, that's the intention.
I couldn't believe it.
Everyone's chasing a Super Bowl week one.
When I saw that headline, I couldn't believe it. It's like, oh, they tied the Texans? Doesn't count.
But the funny thing is,
move it along.
Every team is technically chasing a Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield is chasing a Super Bowl.
Every coach.
But would anyone write an article with the headline, Baker Mayfield chasing a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I think sometimes, like, expectations should be realistic. You know, Keyshawn Johnson went on TV the other day and said, like, I don't think the Titans can win the Super Bowl. And they immediately
groundbreaking
slipped out that clip to us, which I will give them credit because, one, that's good hustle to get, you know, everybody talking about your show. And two, you know, I mean, they do say things on that show we talk about, and we got to stop bringing those people on to discuss their Titans takes because we brought on Keyshawn to rip on his Tannehill takes, and then Tannehill threw three interceptions in a playoff game. And the midday show brought on Max Kellerman to discuss his Saquon Barkley takes.
And Saquon
ran for 155 yards. So with that, but I will say, like, when I see that Keyshawn Johnson says the Titans can't win the Super Bowl, I'm like, and? Like, Jared Stillman thinks that the Titans can't win the Super Bowl.
Does anyone think that the Titans can?
Ian?
Not that I've heard.
Yeah, like, oh, goodness.
I mean, I think we'd all like it, but let's be real, Keyshawn.
Let's be real.
Let's calm down the hot takes, Keyshawn.
And we thought that before they lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
We have not at one point, we have not at any point talked about the Titans competing for the Super Bowl. In fact, when Aaron Rodgers decided to stay in Green Bay and thus not come here, the pipe dream that was, which was confirmed that he was open to coming to the Titans by AJ Hawk of the Pat McAfee Show. Just want everyone out there to know that. When Aaron Rodgers decided to stay in Green Bay and Russell Wilson got traded to Denver, I was like, well, no shot at the Super Bowl. And I have not changed my opinion about that since then. Now, the division. I think the Titans can beat the Colts.
For sure.
I think the Titans can win the division.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Colts can win the Super Bowl either, which is why I think it's ridiculous to put up these articles about chasing a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Right. Okay.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. It's chasing one.
And they're
just getting outrun.
Tied with the Texans. I was thinking about this at the Titans game the other day. So the Texans tie the Colts. Now, let's say the Titans had tied the Giants.
I would have hated that.
Would the Titans be ahead of the Colts and Texans because it was an NFC tie, or would they be behind because their tie was an AFC tie?
Ooh. Okay, so NFC losses and the AFC bear less weight, correct?
An AFC loss is worse than an NFC loss, yes.
And an NFC win is not as impressive as an AFC win when we're talking tiebreakers,
correct?
Right? So, I would probably say, I don't know.
Ian?
I don't know. Is an AFC not loss better than an AFC not win?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
So right now, if you look at the AFC South standings, It is because the Titans and Jags are the same because they both lost to an NFC team. So
yeah,
it is Houston, Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee. And I'm convinced it's like that because H comes before I, and then J comes before T. So that's why it's listed that way. But that is not actually the standings because I don't think the NFL has a rule break for ties after one game, because all the other things are like strength of victory, and there's no victories because it's one game.
Does home and away have anything to do with it?
I don't think so.
I have no idea. I would probably say an AFC not win probably is worse than an NFC not win.
So tying the Giants would be ahead of
Indianapolis. Would be ahead of, yeah, but I have no idea.
615-737-1025. Todd Downing is the most criticized guy in town. In a roundabout way, the media asked Vrabel and Tannehill about their criticisms of Downing, and I was stunned by the thing that both of them didn't do. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.